Trayam. One whose glance is as cooling as a lotus flower. Yes. Once Krishna looked at the cowherd boys who had just died from drinking the poisonous water of the Jamuna, and his glance was immediately giving them life back. Therefore, his glance is often referred to as very cooling, life-giving. Sita, wir haben eine Übersetzung für die kleinen Mädels, oder du kannst auch Englisch verfolgen? So intuitiv, glaube ich, ne? Was ist denn das? Namate. Respectful obeisances unto you. Pankaja angraye. Unto you, the soles of whose feet are engraved with lotus flowers. Yes, you're still a little in the resting mood as far as your Hare Krishna. And who are therefore said to possess lotus feet? Translation. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Purport. Here are some of the specific symbolic marks on the spiritual body of the personality of Godhead, which distinguish his body from the bodies of all others. They are all special features of the bodies of the Lord. The Lord may appear as one of us, but he is always distinct by his specific bodily features. Srimati Kunti claims herself unfit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. This is claimed because women, Shudras, and the Dvija Bandhus, or the wretched descendants of the higher three classes, are unfit by intelligence to understand transcendental subject matter concerning the spiritual name, fame, attributes, forms of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Such persons, although they are unfit to enter into the spiritual affairs of the Lord, can see him as the Archa Vigraha, who descends on the material world just to distribute favors to the fallen souls, including the above-mentioned women Shudras and Vijayabandhus. Because such fallen souls cannot see anything beyond matter, the Lord condescends to enter into each and every one of the innumerable universes as the Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, who grows a lotus stem from the lotus-like depression in the center of his transcendental abdomen. And thus Brahma, the first living being in the universe, is born. Therefore, the Lord is known as the Pankajanabi. The Pankajanabi Lord accepts the Archa Vigraha, his transcendental form, in different elements, namely a form within the mind, a form made of wood, a form made of earth, a form made of metal, a form made of jewel, a form made of paint, a form drawn on sand, etc. All such forms of the Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, and there should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning attention of the non-devotees, always engaged in material wranglings. The meditators worship a form within the mind. Therefore, the Lord is merciful even to the women, Shudras and Vijayabandhus, provided they agree to visit the temple of worship in different forms made for them. Such temple visitors are not idolaters, as alleged by some men with a poor fund of knowledge. All the great acharyas established such temples of worship in all places just to favor the less intelligent. And one should not pose himself as transcending the stage of temple worship while one is actually in the category of the Shudras and the women or less. One should begin to see the Lord from his lotus feet gradually rising to the thighs, it's called, waist, chest and face. One should not try to look at the face of the Lord without being accustomed to seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. Srimati Kunti, because of her being the aunt of the Lord, did not begin to see the Lord from the lotus feet, because the Lord might feel ashamed, and thus Kunti Devi, just to save a painful situation for the Lord, began to see the Lord just above his lotus feet, from the waist of the Lord, gradually rising to the face, and then down to the lotus feet. In the round, everything is in order. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Simata Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Tasvacharye Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Grada Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Nama Pankajanabhaya, Nama Pankajamaline, Nama Pankajanetraya, Namaste Pankajangraye. Translation. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with the depression of a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. One should not try to look at the face of the Lord without being accustomed to seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. In this verse, we find a description of Sri Krishna's soles of the feet. It is described that these soles are engraved with lotus flowers. The acharyas explain to us that there is a specific meaning. The lotus flower is growing even at a dirty place, and always, although being in the midst of the swamp is very dirty and unhealthy, always the lotus flower maintains a somewhat transcendental, you can almost say, somewhat beyond situation. It smells beautiful. Bees will come and fly into the lotus flower to collect honey, and so on. So this lotus is imprinted on the souls of the Lord. And this means that a devotee who meditates about the lotus feet of the Lord will also always remain in a transcendental position in this world and not fall under the influence of the three gunas. This meditating about the lotus feet of the Lord keeps a devotee in a transcendental position. There are other signs on the lotus feet of the Lord. For instance, there is a flash. Flashes are very powerful in destroying mountains. They can break big boulders from the mountain. In the same way, if one meditates about the lotus feet of the Lord, then one's accumulated mountain of sinful reactions is destroyed. That's the meaning. Or you will also find in the lotus feet of the Lord a conch shell. That's very interesting to note. In the Aratik, we offer first the lamp, which is spreading light but also heat, and afterwards we offer the conch shell full with water. The reason why we offer in the Aratik a fire is to burn the auspiciousness which might befall the transcendental Lord. Of course, we all know there is no real inauspiciousness for the Lord. I mean, how can anything bad ever cover the Supreme Lord? But just to show our devotion, just to show him that we love him and wish him well, so to say, we offer that lamp. And afterwards, that's one meaning why we offer the lamp. But another, but we want to explain the conch shell, why we offer the conch shell. The conch shell is also a sign on the lotus feet of the Lord, and I want to explain it. So why the conch shell? What is the meaning of the conch shell? Well, the conch shell is offered in an aratik, in a traditional way, just after the hot light, because it gives cooling, a cooling effect. It is full of water, which is cooling. In a similar way, someone who meditates on the Lord's lotus feet will experience an intensely cooling effect after the being in the fire of samsara, the fire of material existence. When a person finally comes and offers his obeisances to the Lord and begins to serve the Lord's lotus feet and meditate about them, there is a cooling effect in his life brought about by the conch shell. So we could now, if you want, go through all the signs, the fish, on the sign of the fish of the lotus feet of the Lord and so on, and I'm sure we will not be able to end the class on time, because each of the different symbols and signs of the lotus feet of the Lord offer a particular benediction to the meditator who finally has understood their real beauty and real the paramgati of his life can be found, that is, at the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Now, these lotus feet of the Lord are found if a devotee takes a path in his or her life which brings him directly into the nearness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee in this world should constantly meditate about the fact that he or she has an eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the greatest treasure for the living entity. However, to reclaim it, a devotee needs to find a particular path in this world, which is described to be Churasyadhara. It is as sharp or as narrow as the blade of a razor. It is very, the razor's blade is very fine. So the path to back to the lotus feet of the Lord, or to the Lord, is extremely fine. You have to be really careful not to miss it in your life. You see, we were saying we all have a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, this is a very encouraging subject matter, but also a subject matter for deep thought. It is encouraging because we are related to him. Just imagine you find out one day you're related to a very wealthy person. This is very encouraging because, you know, I just need to reclaim this relationship and then I will definitely be able to obtain a lot of benefit. For instance, monetary benefit. Imagine our Mahadev Prabhu would find out he is really related to Rockefeller over a few corners. Then all the financial dreams of our Berlin Yatra could be immediately realized. That is a huge temple, maybe with 20 million German marks and so on. It would be no problem. Or imagine who is from here? Our Padma Hasta would find out he's related. She's related to Baron Fink, or Thun and Taxis. These are some German aristocratic, wealthy people. Immediately, we could make plans to build this nice temple room downstairs and invite Panchatattva here to Aventoria. So it's very encouraging to find out that we are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because this brings with it an immediate relief. Yes, all the problems can be taken care of. However, to reclaim this relationship needs deep thought. See, according to the dictionary, relationship means to be related through the blood, or to be related relationship. It means to be through marriage. For instance, I'm not related through the blood to the wife of my brother, but we are related through marriage. I don't know what she is in relationship to me, but there is a very specific word, Nichte maybe, or Schwägerin, sister-in-law. So these types, these two possibilities are there if you want to have like a family relationship. Family relationship. So we do have a family relationship. We belong to the family of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but not in these two ways. We are not related over the material body, in other words, to the Lord. To make this very clear, if you want to reclaim your relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you cannot remain on the bodily platform. You have to realize this Vedic aphorism, Aham Brahmasmi, I am not this body. Prabhupada makes it very clear what this means for us. I'm spirit soul, I'm not this body. Just excuse me for one moment. Bhima, ich bin so glücklich, dich in einer Vorlesung wiederzusehen. Das ist für mich eine ein großes Erlebnis. Du verstehst aber, glaube ich, nicht so gut Englisch, oder? Willst du nicht zu der Übersetzung gehen, wo die Sita ist? Ich erzähle nachher auch eine nice Geschichte, also es lohnt sich. Wir müssen unser Kind und Kegel zu sein. Es ist heute Kind und Kegel Festival, da muss man die Kinder und die Kegel auch versorgen. So, although it, so let me say, it is a source of great celebration to find out all of us are related family-wise with the Lord. You belong to the Achyuta Gotra, the family of Achyuta, the infallible. Now to reclaim this relationship, and I feel that's the most important, means we must be on the spiritual platform and must go beyond the material platform. Otherwise, it is not possible to feel this kinship, oder Verwandtschaft, sagt man auch, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To come to the spiritual platform, there is a path. I've written this down, I want to read it to you. The path followed by pure devotees who are well-behaved, Sushila is well-behaved, and fully endowed with the best qualifications, is certainly the best path in this material world. It is free from fear and authorized by Shastra. That's in the sixth canto of the Bhagavata. Now, in order to find the path which will bring us to the spiritual platform where we will meet our dear Lord, means to follow the path of the sadhus. Both Ramanujacharya and Bhaktivinoda Thakur say, if nothing else works, just go where the sadhus are and listen as they discuss Krishna Katha. Satang prasanga mama virya samvido bhavanti kritkana rasayana katha. It's described. This katha, or this talk of the sadhus, is a rasayana. Rasayana means an Ayurvedic tonic which relieves you of disease and gives you strength. The talk of the materialists is compared to be like pickles. Pickles, especially those which are of an older type, do have some fascination in them. They burn the tongue in a pleasing way, and they agitate a little bit the system. They help the circulation and so on and so forth. But pickles don't really have a nourishing value as such. You could eat a glass of pickle if you have a stomach to manage, and still feel hungry. So this is the talk of the materialist. You can absolutely hear material katha, and there is a certain type of agitating nature, and also interesting informations are there for the mind, but it does not really nourish us in any practical way. Krishna katha, or the talk amongst sadhus, has a nourishing value. It drives away our material illusions, which is compared like a heavy disease, and brings nourishment to our devotional life. So when we say we have to follow the path of pure devotee, it means we should talk with we should hear their katha, what they say, what they talk, and as we do so, we will find all of a sudden strength and enthusiasm coming up in us.
The katha, or talk of the devotees, helps us to find the spiritual path. Many devotees have made this experience that when they find time and listen to the tapes of Srila Prabhupada and just listen on and on and on and on, their spiritual life gets such a support, so to say, that they really can perform in the realm of devotional service in a much, much better way. Srila Prabhupada gave once a lecture where he says, everything comes by hearing. Hear, hear, repeatedly hear. This is not a material sound vibration. It is Krishna. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked by a New Zealand reporter, why do you go out and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on the street? And Prabhupada said, well, everything comes by hearing. If people hear the transcendental sound vibration, this nonsense material designation, I am American, I am New Zealander, will go because they associate with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is very, in some of his interviews he was just preaching so directly to the foreign conditioned souls. Anyway, so to be in the association with devotees, really, if we want to take the full benefit, means we must hear repeatedly. This movement for Krishna consciousness is there for hearing about Krishna. I don't know how you personally feel, but many devotees have told me that what they treasure very much in that this association of devotees is when they hear Krishna Katha even in a spontaneous way, when devotees, for instance, are standing in the garden and they talk about Krishna. It's very enlivening. Like the other day, there was a wonderful Ram Katha by our Padmanabha Prabhu on the fire. And I think all of you who were present enjoyed it, because it is very clear our association is strongest when we can associate amongst each other on the spiritual platform with Krishna consciousness. I still remember to this day the wonderful experience which I had in Straubing. At that time, Bhakti Bhusha Maharaj went on Sankirtan and was our Sankirtan leader. Few younger devotees were there. I remember to this day when it was difficult for me, I revealed my mind, my difficulties, and he just spoke very nice and encouragingly from the transcendental platform. Even 12 years, or I don't know if it's 12 years back, but it's a long time back, these moments where we talk with devotees are in our mind and are not extinguished, because that's the real meaning of this society for Krishna consciousness. In such talk amongst devotees, which is led from the spiritual platform, we do find our own path, which leads us from the material platform to the transcendental level, where we reclaim our relationship with Krishna. The greatest benefit one can do to devotees and also to conditioned souls is to allow the nectar stream of Krishna Katha to manifest. And it is not so difficult. It entails or means to repeat what you have heard from spiritual authorities. So this path is called Krishna Parayana or Narayana Parayana, the path back home, the path to the spiritual world. Not a day should pass when we are not looking for this path actively in our lives. you should always find this part, this Urdhva Pundra, is, as it's also said. Do you know why what the Tilak means? There are many meanings, and most probably you have heard already several, but here's one which is very essential and which is very interesting in this connection. Urdhva means upwards, Pundra means path. So this Urdhva Pundra, it is a path which goes upwards. Those of you who still are new devotees in our movement and maybe make the Tilak like this should take note and make it like this from this day on. This means it goes upwards. It is a path is drawn on the forehead of the practitioner in Krishna consciousness, which gives a clear indication upwards. Urdhva Pundra, our path is an Urdhva Pundra, a path which will go upwards. Now this desire to find the transcendental path in our lives daily, which will bring us in relationship to the Lord, means to give up desires for the path which leans downwards. I have once noted, I make this like a today, I'm not really prepared for the lecture, but I'm just remembering once seeing a devotee who made the sign like this, from up to down. This is a natural way of material life. Material life means the mind is attracted to material objects. In transcendental psychology it is described that there are two ways in which your thought stream or mind can flow. One is one moment, I just can't remember the Sanskrit, but it means the things which go, the thought stream which goes downwards. What it means is our old habits, our old attachments, our certain material sense objects, the opposite sex. The path downwards means also the five kleshas, asmita, the false ego, the avidya, the ignorance, avidya, asmita, raga, these are certain material attachments, dvesha, which means that we don't like certain things, and finally abhinivesha, that is our conditioning, even from past previous lives, in which we are grossly absorbed. So this is the path downwards which our minds very often take when we are in the material world. It's very natural that we become agitated for material things in the material world, because we have become so since many times. But if we hear Krishna Katha, our mind is drawn from lower platform to the higher platform. Krishna Katha needs to be systematically cultivated, or this hearing about Krishna, this lotus feet, needs to be systematically done. Otherwise we will not be able to come to the transcendental platform. It's really some project in our lives. See, water always flows downwards. In the same way, our material minds, as long as they are not, as long as we are not situated on a very quite high stage of Krishna consciousness, like Nishta or Shakti, our material minds will always flow to the material side. It is natural. It is also not something to be totally, ashamed of. totally, you know, that you become desperate because of it. It's just the way it is. The material mind is meant for engaging in material activities. It connects the sense, you know, it connects us with the outer world. But if you want to come to the transcendental platform and be a member or experience your membership in the Achyuta Gotra, you will have to make some work so that the mind flows in the opposite side. It is possible by attraction. See, it's very difficult to tell the river here, why don't you flow the other way around? By the way, we would never ask the river to do this because it flows from north to south. It means a lot of money will flow through this project, according to Madhu Pandit. You can't just tell the river. If you want the river to go the other way, you have to make some arrangements. It's not so. If there would be something to attract the flow of the river, like maybe the moon can attract water, but I'm not sure if it can attract the water in a river to flow the opposite side. I think we've never heard this. It's too strong. Anyway, the moon can take care of oceans who move, at least. So Krishna, the Krishna Chandra, can also take care that our mind flows in the other way. It is so potent, the moon of Krishna Katha, so potent that it can actually take care that your mind goes the opposite way. That's the only way to make really advancement in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, our material desires will bind us eternally to this material world. Our mind will flow through it and become attracted, and then we will develop so many material desires. Our mind is like a big Kaliya snake which resides in the lake of our heart, and it has many, many roots called the material desires, which always drag us towards material objects. If you want to go the path upwards, we will need to make some revolutionary plan in our lives to get into Krishna Katha. See, some people want to take another path. They say, all right, material desires are the cause of material existence. I will stop it, the material desires. Adishesh, these are the Buddhistic people. But it never will work. You can... Some people, I have heard, Origenes, the father of Christianity, has had a lot of troubles because he came from the Mediterranean regions to control the sexual urge. And he was finally so exasperated and desperate that he voluntarily cut his private part away. But the desires still continued. Imagine how desperate this man must have been. Before someone does this, he is totally finished. This was maybe not good for the children, but imagine. People even kill themselves to stop with their material desires because they know their material mind is dragging them into the most bad situations. But the desires still keep on going when they are in a ghost body. Imagine how strong desires are. Not even by killing your body or mutilating it in some ways, you can stop these subtle material forces. It can be only, our desires can be somehow overtaken or controlled if we do take shelter in Krishna. I heard a lecture where Prabhupada says, if we say, my dear Lord, from this day on I surrender unto you, I'm yours, and then one finds out what the plan of the Lord is and desires in his devotional service to fulfill that plan of the Lord. That's the only possibility to spiritualize our desires. We always have freedom. Like Krishna asked Arjuna at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, what will you do now? Where I have explained all these things, and you can do what you want. It's your choice. Krishna wants us that we bring our desires under the umbrella of his lotus feet, and then they stop being tortured by the rain of materialistic plans and so on. He wants it, but we have to make the free choose. He will not take our mind. Wouldn't it be nice if Krishna one night comes in your dream and takes your mind and doesn't give it back, just keeps it? But how often have we prayed for this? But it doesn't happen. Krishna wants us to make that endeavor ourselves, to cultivate a type of hearing about him always, and then remembering him always, so that our mind goes back to him. Now at the end I want to tell a little story which is very much relevant. I will dedicate this story to the children there. Das für euch Kinder, jetzt diese Geschichte über Lord Chaitanya, dass ihr was zum Sprechen habt und diskutieren und so weiter. But it is also very, very nice. I thought when Krishna Chaitraprabhu today said, oh Sachinanda, I would like to hear a lecture first, and then I will give the lecture. And, we all know our Krishna Chaitraprabhu. If he has made a decision in his mind, then that's it. He's very strong, very strong personality. So we have followed his request. And I thought, what will I tell that Krishna Chaitraprabhu also hears a new Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It's not only for the children. It's I was thinking of some Leela about Mahaprabhu talking about attraction, because that's really one of the key words in this lecture. We talk about going the spiritual path, and we all know it is possible by attraction only. Very nice Leela is a Leela which was revealed after Mahaprabhu's disappearance by one Brahmana. And you will hear in a minute or so why the Brahmana could only reveal this Leela after the disappearance of the Lord. Let me explain. The Brahmana once went into the river Ganga to take his bath. Then he was standing in the river Ganga, half merged up to his hips in the water, and chanted his Gayatri Mantra. And when he was in the midst of the Gayatri Mantra, he saw a very surprising phenomenon. He saw how the Ganga all of a sudden came up. It raised, came to his chest, to his shoulders, and he became, you know, he didn't want to interrupt this Gayatri. It stopped finally, and then the Ganga, all inexplicable, there was no explanation for him, just went down again. And then it came up again. Imagine this. And this many times it just went like this. And you know, finally he couldn't concentrate any longer on his meditation on the Gayatri Mantra. And he looked around what could be the cause of this unusual behavior of Ganga. And as he looked around, his glance fell on the bank of the Ganga, and there he saw the most amazing personality. It was a small boy, maybe the size area of the bank of the Ganga was of the bank of the Ganges was bathed in a golden light. Now this boy, see, this is the Ganga, huh? The hand is flowing. This boy was walking on the side of the Ganga, and sometimes playfully, like little boys do, he went away from the Ganga. And then sometimes playfully, like young boys do, he went again close to the Ganga, and he went something like this. And whenever the boy went away from the Ganga, the sadhu saw, to his amazement, how the Ganga was coming out of the riverbed, stretching with her waves to catch the lotus feet of that boy. And whenever he playfully came close to the Ganga again went back into her riverbed, still touching the her delicate waves, lotus feet of that beautiful boy. Now the Brahmana was amazed to see this. He never had seen the boy, and as he was just thinking, who could it be, another mystical thing happened. All of a sudden, a chariot drawn by delphins emerged from the water of the Ganga, and on that Ganga, on that chariot, was a beautiful lady who had a white sari which glowed like the moon, like the Purnima moon. You can see in the night when you cannot sleep, we have again this moon, wonderful moon, which has this very attractive whitish glow. This most delicate and most beautiful of ladies was riding on that unusual chariot, and then saw the Ganga, bowed down to this golden boy. He said, "My dear Lord, please accept my most humble obeisances. You are the Lord of me. I beg you that in this incarnation you bless me like previously you have blessed my sister Yamuna when you came previously. You were always bathing in the water of Yamuna, and because of your blackish complexion that Yamuna turned blackish in transcendental ecstasy. She was always embracing you. So now please, in this incarnation, do me the favor and stay with me. Stay on my banks and bathe always so that I can embrace you. Please do me that favor. Grant me that favor." The Brahmana saw how Mother Ganga paid obeisances to the golden boy. And his Gayatri Mantra was long interrupted. He was just with bumps of ecstasy. He went to, he looked, he witnessed that he was the only one, and then the Ganga disappeared again in the river, and he came out of the river, and, "Who are you? Please tell me who you are. You must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as I can understand from Mother Ganga." So at that time, the golden Nimai, the golden avatar, the great golden dancer, is he is sometimes also called Gauranatabara. he revealed his identity to the fortunate Brahmana, but then he said, "Don't say it. In this incarnation, I'm relishing the mood of my devotee. If you proclaim what you have seen, this will be disturbed, and I will have to remove you from this world. I will have to remove you from this world." So therefore, this remained a secret until the Lord finally disappeared. You can see Mother Ganga is so attracted to embrace Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If this is our mood, to be so attracted to Krishna, then our minds will be our best friends and work cooperatively with us to always stay on the Urdhva Pundra, the path which links up with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, and only then, will it be possible to get rid of these material desires and, you know, this consciousness, this material consciousness. We need to make a plan in our life. Let us not lament at the end of the life, "Oh, I did not arrange my life in such a way that I could not hear and absorb my mind in the transcendental Krishna consciousness, in the Katha of the Lord." Let us not lament like this. Hare Krishna. I want to thank you very much for listening. Hari Bol. Do you have any questions regarding the subject matters? Kind und Kegel? No? Fahren Sie mit. Heilig Schäfer,
hast du auch über den Bedeutung
von
Tila gesprochen?
Mhm.
Kennst du auch noch andere Bedeutungen?
Yes, Heilig Schäfer, Prabhu requests to hear other explanations. The explanation which is usually used in preaching is that it is the sign of Lord Vishnu, which is put on the body to indicate that the body is a temple of the Lord, just like the sign of Vishnu indicates when it's on any building, indicates it's a temple. I think you have written this down in your wonderful Bhakta book. And now another meaning is that it is the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Radha, Krishna, on the forehead. Another explanation which I have heard is that this sign, it's just like the tulsi leaf. These are the explanations which have stuck in my mind, but I'm sure maybe Krishna Chaitaprabhu, you know that there are others in yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I like to think of this like this, lotus feet of Krishna and Radha. Long. That is a Vaishnava. I found this very nice for my own meditation on Tilak, you know. The lotus feet of the Lord are on my head. Yeah, Krishna Chaitaprabhu.
Mm-hmm. And we know that the family relation is tended to be extremely strong and compelling, where relationship with Krishna is also a kind of family relationship where we have connection with Gotra. So the question might arise, what is the fundamental difference? If it's not a club relationship, but and yet we say it's a family relationship, what does that mean?
We don't say, let me make sure that I understand your question correctly. It's our relationship to Krishna is not through the blood, but it is still a family relationship. What does this mean, really? Well, as far as I understand, it means it's a spiritual relationship, and it can be only claimed when we are on the spiritual platform. That I've said already, to make it more clear. Thus, there is a very nice verse which tells us how our relationship will look like, or when it will come about. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. In other words, when a devotee is on that Vasudev platform, then he will have vijnan, or a realization or the experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can, in other words, only be on the family table, so to say, even in its beginning stages of your relationship to Krishna. You can only experience that when you are on that Vasudeva platform in your life, beyond even the mode of Sattva Guna. This is very practically what it means. Family relationship. Well, there are, of course, many. We all know that there are five rasas which we experience there. These rasas come in a type of perverted way in this material world, but they lack the experience of the real rasas. In the family relationship to the Lord, we will find what we are looking, in other words, for in our family relationships in this world. We will find the substance of eternity, blissfulness, and knowledge in this wonderful family relationship. Family, yeah, that's a very interesting word. It really depends on the type of rasa which the devotee experience in his service to the Lord, how this family relationship will look like. But it's very, very ecstatic and very, very sweet. I just heard very nice information from our Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj that in Sakya Ras, the devotees in Goloka Vrindavan are relating to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in an extremely intimate way. Like sometimes they say, I have to, sometimes they build parties where they fight against each other. I will wait until the children get their translator back. Jetzt kommt noch eine kleine Krishna-Lila. sometimes they're fighting against each other. You know, they need to make parties. But Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he's all-powerful, sometimes lets his friends win. He's so friendly towards them. And often he lets them win. So one time they all met together to build the parties, but no one wanted to be on the side of Krishna. So it was discussed, why? Maybe they said, we can't let Krishna all alone, you know, on one side, and then we all against him. This is highly unfair. No, no, said the boys. Krishna's side always loses. Balaram's side always, you know. In other words, they're extremely close to each other in that relationship. They are so absorbed in that relationship of transcendental play that Yogamaya sends every day a demon, so that the play gets interrupted, and then Krishna kills the demon, and then afterwards it's time for lunch. If Yogamaya would not send a demon, they would not be able to stop their play. They are so absorbed in it. This is how, why there's always one demon in the comes in the forenoon time, before the forenoon, or the forenoon time, Vormittagszeit, wie man sagt. And another demon comes in the evening when it's time to take supper. Then the demon comes by Yogamaya's arrangement. But this is only in Boma Vrindavan, that is a Vrindavan in this world. In the transcendental Goloka Vrindavan, there are no demons coming. But there is a rumor of demons. Sometimes it appears to one of the boys, coward boys, that he just saw Agasura. Then he runs into the village or runs where everyone else is and shouts, Krishna, Krishna, Agasura. And Krishna appears from wherever he was and protects and instills fearlessness. I'm here, I'm with you, with the boys. But this is another, this is an arrangement of Yogamaya so that the devotees are brought in loving moods together with Krishna. In fact, it is described by one of our acharyas that sometimes that someone paints pictures of demons, like this big billboards which you have in America, drink this juice and your strengths will come up in you like water in the monsoon and so on. So they have these billboards of demons, you know. So they were quite awkward. Dhenukasura is sometimes described as four heads when he really gets going. They find this this there, and then everyone runs, ooh, I saw a demon there. But it's not, there are no demons in this world, but it's just the rumor. In other words, these relationships are made in the material world in a way where Krishna protects the devotees when he kills the intrusion, and as the spiritual world, these relationships are also made by Yogamaya so that they become very intense, that the devotees are always finding new opportunities to be together with Krishna in a loving mood. The taste of this relationship cannot be described. Family relationship. Good, I would say we should end our lecture here. It is time. Thank you very much for listening. And if you try to use electric instruments, don't be surprised, they will only again function at 3 o'clock when the electricity goes on. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrīsī Gaurinitāya ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hare Krishna.
Śrī 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 Śrī